Amen. Praise be to God. I grew up in New Zion Baptist Church, and out of all the services that I remember in particular, there was the third Sunday morning service that started at 8 o'clock, Pastor Hodge. And it was something about that service that even as a young child just looked like everybody there wanted to have church on that morning. And I just got to tell y'all making me homesick. I'm grateful to God just for the opportunity to be here. This is the kind of situation, Pastor Hodge, I don't mean no disrespect, but can I loose from the protocol and just get down to the matter at hand? If we could, let us bow our head for a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you. You've been so good and so kind. You watched over us all night long. You've been with us in our down sitting and our uprising. You kept us from dangers seen and unseen, and you've allowed us to arrive at your house this morning. And God, we sure enough want to say thank you. Father, we've heard your Zion song sang and prayer being offered, God, and now we've come up to the word of God. And Father, I'm just trusting you now, believing that you can do all things but fail. Lord, I pray now that thou would put preaching in my mouth and in my heart and in my mind. And God, I pray that you would just have your way this day. Father, we pray that you would bless your people and give them itching ears to hear truth. But Father, I pray that you would let us reminisce a while, that we might know where we come from and know that it's been you who brought us, not part of the way, Lord, but not a mighty long way, but you brought us all of the way, God. Help us now to do that which is pleasing in your sight. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. And thank God. Pastor Hodge, regularly y'all done mess with me this morning. Came here with a nice little message, and y'all done mess with me. So I'm just asking you to meet me in Philippians 3rd chapter, and we're not going to mess around with it. We're going straight to verse 14. Amen. I thought God was going to let me tarry in chapter 1, but y'all done mess with me. Y'all done mess me up this morning. Philippians 3 and 14. And there you will find these words. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. We honor our grandparents and our senior citizens on this morning. Amen. I say our because I grew up in a time when if them old folks caught you doing something, you ain't had the business. They ain't had to call home and ask permission to chastise you. And one of the worst whippings you could get is when somebody told mama you was cutting up and you were supposed to be under their care. While that belt was swinging, mama was saying, embarrassing me because you don't know how to act when you go somewhere. We done got away from that. And mama, don't go around there acting crazy, boy. Don't act like you ain't got no home training. I'm on the other side of it now. It used to make me mad, but now I'm grateful for it, Pastor Hodge. And every now and then they just tell you, now, boy, you know better than that. I know your people and you know better than that. And just the way they say it, it just make you so ashamed. Somebody know what I'm talking about. With this passage, we'd like to lift a thought. Press on, soldier. Press on. We live in a time when we have mistakenly devalued our senior citizens. We are not looking to them for wise counsel as we once did. And yet, they have lived life with its share of successes and failures. They are now resolute in terms of their living. And they can help us over some of the bridges that we are trying to cross, because they've already crossed those bridges. I'm reminded of my grandmother and how sometimes when young ladies came to church and they weren't dressed quite right, they didn't have the chapel cap on their head. They say, "Where Tot Nola?" I say, "She just went in the front door," and they go through the back door because they knew that if she saw them, she would tell them something. But the same person, when they got in trouble, if you know what I mean, Pastor Hodge, they would want to sit down with her because they knew where they could get an answer from. They knew where they could get in, how they can get in touch with God. And if they didn't feel like they could get to him for themselves, they knew somebody who could. Press on, soldier. Press on. God has blessed you to reach the ages where you are, and God is blessing you with what my grandmother and them used to call a reasonable portion of health and strength. And when I asked them as a child what they meant, they told me, "Keep on living, you're going to understand it on down the road." And I do declare they were right. But they shared some things with us to help us to understand the right way to go. But one of the reasons that you ought to press on is because we need your example. We need your example. ham and some bacon and some sausage and all that and say, go bring that to Tot House up the street. She got to feed them children. And I'm saying to myself, but grandma and them wasn't rich, but they were sharing like they had. Press on, soldier. Huh? You come from good stock. Press on, soldier, because you have a marvelous history, and somebody needs to know your story. Paul says that not only is he not perfect, not only does he have a past, but he says he comes to this place in his life after all that he's been through, and he says, but it's time for me to weigh anchor. In other words, I'm not going to let my past weigh me down. I got to get out of the port that I'm in right now because there's still work to be done. And so while I'm saying to you, you ought to tell your story. God is still giving you the opportunity to write your story. Reverend, what are you talking about? He starts talking about, he says in verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Huh? He said, look, it's time for me to weigh anchor, because while God has given you a glorious past, he's not done using you yet. Don't let popular opinion shape your history as you walk into the future. We have come into a time where they're saying, them children not going to listen to us. And so we have sat down on the chairs and given up on a generation. But if you go back and check out our history, our people did not give up on us. Huh? And matter of fact, they took us. I wanted to say drug us to church. And then I was thinking about that the other day, and I realized that they never really looked to see if we wanted to go with them. Grandma just said, come on in here and take your bath. We got a speaking meeting tonight. Grandma just said, get up. It's time to give the Lord some of your time. Grandma just said, as long as you in this house, and so what they did with us is they gave us a good system. They followed what the Bible talks about, adopted cliches on top of it, and said stuff like, if you don't bend the tree while it's young, huh? And they bent it too. But grandma wasn't satisfied because she had raised 9. And as I think about it, it wasn't just the 9 that she raised. I was at a family reunion and my cousin walked up to me and said, you know, your grandmother raised me. My mama died when I was young and she took me in and raised me. Now I did tell y'all they had nine, right? And I'm trying to figure out with six place settings at the table in the kitchen, how you find room to bring another child into the house. But they knew that somebody had to raise that child. And let me tell you young people something, that when they first came up with the welfare system and all those different systems, it wasn't for us. Our children were not picked up by social services. They was picked up by grandma and grandpa and auntie and cousin and all them folk. And they took them in and gave them the same opportunities as the children that they had born. And all I'm saying to you is, now is not the time to leave those teachings. We got to press forward. We've got to move forward. But at the same time that we're moving forward, we got to make sure that we don't leave behind those teachings that God established in us from way back when. Those same teachings that helped our previous generations when they were under the master's lash. Some folks say, don't take all that. I don't need to go to church every Sunday. But let me tell you, when our people were in slavery, they came to church. And if you don't believe me, watch your economics as it relates to your church attendance. You will discover that the attendance is high when things are low. God knows how to get us in the house. But let me go a little further and help you to understand something, that when our people came to church, let me show you how the Lord blessed them. They were in captivity. Huh? And then one day the preacher got up and read from Exodus. Talked about how the children of Israel had been in bondage for 400 years. And how God sent a deliverer named Moses to deliver them from Egyptian captivity. And they began to wonder, since God is no respecter of person, if he could do it for them. I believe he can do it for us. Somebody's got to stand and recite the history of our past, that we might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can make it. We live in a society, and I'm talking about us, where our children have decided, I'm not going to school. That's very interesting to me, because our people fought for the right for them to go to school. And somebody's got to help them to understand why they ought to take advantage of what has been fought for them. You got to press forward. You got to help children to understand that not only can they make it, but they ought to get busy trying to make it and do what thus said the Lord. And you must stand in the gap as proof positive that you might not only set the agenda, but you can set the example of one who has made it. That our children might see the reality in serving a true and a living God. For this cause, Paul talks about pressing. Huh? Because he realizes that he has not yet reached the mark. I'm not there yet. And if God has blood running through your veins, he's still got air coming into your lungs. He's still giving you some kind of movement in your limbs. He means to use you to help somebody else who's coming behind you. You need to press forward. Strive towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because there are those who have come to the place in their lives where they have become at ease in Zion and have declared that I'm just going to ride on mother's coattail. That there are those who have decided that life as it is good enough. But I'm here to tell you that somebody's got to raise the standard. Somebody's got to say you better than that. Somebody got to say, but God wants to take you further than you are right now. And you've got to press towards the mark and help them to understand and give them the motivation to want to go beyond where they are right now. Reverend, what do you mean by that? I can only tell you what my mama told me. In one of the few times as a child, my mama referred to me as a man. She came in my room one day and I was out of school for the summer and I was just sitting around the house. And mama declared to me that you need to go find you a job, son. She said, because ain't no man going to sit in my house when I'm going to work every day. You got to get out of here. She said, when you in school, it's all right. But when you out of school, you got to go to work and you got to put something in the house. I thought my mama was mean. But y'all know I thought she was mean while I was walking out the door to go find me a job. I thought mama was mean. I'm trying to help y'all. I thought mama was mean because she made me, no matter what I made, she made me contribute something to the house. Y'all, sometime it wasn't but $40. But I had to put something in the house. And you know, that didn't make sense to me until I got my first job, my first real job in Alabama, and I was away from home and I had to pay my own light bill, my own gas bill, my own car note, my own rent and everything. And the first month I was proud of myself. The second month I said, God, Lee is back already. And y'all, I made all kind of promises. Lord, if I could just go back to my mama's house, I'll pay her light bill, I'll pay her gas bill, I'll buy some groceries, and I'll still have more money than I got right now. I had to go home and tell my mama. It just got under my skin. I said, Mama, I appreciate you. I said, I didn't understand it back then, but I understand it now. And Mama, I'm thankful to you for doing what I couldn't stop singing her praises because she cared enough to tell me the truth. I press towards the mark. And if you're going to press toward the mark, then you need a focal point. You got to have something that would signify a finish line. And you got to keep striving until you get there. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. He said, I'm looking for something. And I know where it is. And I'm always in the course of heading towards it. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, you got to remember you're going towards home. There was a time when our people referred to our walk down here on earth as a pilgrim's travel. And we were walking the road that God had designed for us to walk. And our job was to compel as many as we could to go along with us. And so no matter what they did it with a sense of, I'm going home one day. I used to listen to the old folks in their prayers, and they say, and Lord, when this world can't afford me a home no longer, I pray, God, that you let me come and lay my head on your breast. Breathe my life out sweetly there. Huh? Some of them say, I've got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, all mine. But they realized that between here and there, they had some work to do. So they sing songs like, I may not sing like an angel. I may not preach like Paul. But I could tell the love of Jesus, how he died for us all. They had something in them that kept them going forward. But they realized that they were striving towards the mark. And they say they was looking for that post, that setback way in Zion. They begin to declare that I don't want to just make it in. I want to get all the way in. And so I say to you that this is no time for you to pronounce the benediction on your life nor your ministry. I'm reminded of that song that my aunt taught me. She said, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to cry. We have to hold up the bloodstained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. They went on to say, my mother, she was a soldier. She had a hand on the gospel plow. But one day she got old. She couldn't fight anymore. She said, I'll stay here, right here, and fight anyhow, because we are soldiers in the army. But if that ain't good enough for you, let me tell you one more story about a God that came down through 40 and two generations. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger. How he grew in stature, and at the age of 12, he confounded the doctors of his day. Went back home in humble obedience to his mama until he reached the age of 30. Then he went and took him a walk down to John's baptism. He allowed himself to be baptized, got an endorsement from heaven when the Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Took him a walk through life for a couple of years, healed the sick, raised the dead, 5,000 hungry souls he fed. But that wasn't enough. One day he went into the garden, prostrated himself, said to his Father, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Then he backed up and did a retraction and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. They led him from judgment hall to judgment hall. So the next time you feel like your name been put on the doorpost, don't worry about it. Before they did it to you, they did it to him. They marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They put a crown on his head, whipped him across his back, put a cross on his shoulders, made him march up a rugged hill called Calvary. And if that ain't enough, they nailed him to the cross, hung him high, and stretched him wide. Had a conversation with his Father. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Had a conversation with a thief on the cross. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Had a conversation with his mother. Woman, behold thy son. Had a conversation with his daddy. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Had a conversation with the soldiers and said, I thirst. Had another conversation with his Father and said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He died. He's asking you to live, but he died. They buried him in Joseph's grave. And I'm glad that it was Joseph's grave, because I'm a Joseph. And it could have been he went in my place, stayed there all night Friday night, stayed there all day Saturday. But early, early Sunday morning, he got up. Seniors, don't you give up, because God's got a Sunday morning waiting on you. But until then, until the time comes when he comes back for you. And when the chariot swings low, huh, and take you home on the morning train. Until that time, do something for him. Live for him. Set the example for somebody else. Call that wayward child to the side and say, let me talk to you. Call that child that don't have a mother and say, come here, let me talk to you. Bring them on the side. It might just be your influence that turns their life around. Press, press, press on, soldier. Press on. God has great work for you. Press on, soldier. And if you press on, God will be glorified. God will be honored. God will be in a place of being lifted up. And if you lift him up, he will draw. Be encouraged, church.